Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Democratic candidate running for the office of Iowa Secretary of Agriculture toured several local communities recently. Let's go in depth with John Norwood from West Des Moines. John, where are you from?
Bob, I grew up on the east side of this country. I grew up in the Boston area, a western suburb, a town that's today called Wayland. And it was, when it was founded originally, one of our first farming communities, it was known as Sudbury Plantation, founded in 1638.
And what brought you to Iowa?
You know, my path to Iowa has been through California. I had a stop. I grew up in the Boston area. I went to school out in the Berkshires, college by the name of Williams College. And our mascot was a purple cow. So we had agriculture around us. It was a rural school. And then I went off to worked in Boston and worked for one of the largest water suppliers and wastewater provider utilities in the country, something called the Massachusetts Water Resources Authority. And after a couple of years there working with the Capital Engineers, I went off and did an agricultural degree at Yale University, the forestry school there, and I picked up an MBA as well. And then from there, my now former wife, who is a professor at Drake, we went off to California for about 10 years. And I did a variety of things in finance and ran an agricultural land trust for about 4 years. And she was a PhD student at the time at Stanford. And then at the end of all that, she was an English professor. She got a start at Drake, and we've been in Iowa ever since. Just finished raising two kids.
And what do you do now?
Now I do a couple things. One of the things, I have a business called TBL Ventures. TBL stands for the triple bottom line, people, planet, profits. And I work with businesses around the state and around the country, usually on business transformation, business strategy, opportunities and questions. Business transformation essentially is, you know, where is the business today? Where does it want to go tomorrow? And how's the best way to get there? And I've been working through a Goldman Sachs-sponsored program here in Iowa, delivered by the community colleges, called 10,000 Small Businesses. I'm a business advisor to that program, served over 40 businesses here around the state, some in food and agriculture and manufacturing and so forth. So that's one of the things I do. I also serve as a Polk County Soil and Water Commissioner. It's an elected position. I was elected in 2017, and some of the work that I've led is now taking fruition here in the state. One of the best examples is the Polk County Saturated Buffer Program, which I conceived working with some other people. The idea of how do we do things at scale, not one at a time, but multiple things at a time. So we just finished doing 50 saturated buffers, a combination of that water quality practice and a bioreactor. And now we're moving into doing 100 at a time. Other counties are now learning how to do this. And essentially, that's what we need to do. We need to learn as a state and at the county level how to deliver infrastructure and how to deliver soil health and how to deliver new market development at scale.
What's a saturated buffer?
A saturated buffer is simply a piece of conservation water quality technology. Perforated pipe that sits underneath a buffer. It's underground, and instead of the tile water discharging directly into a stream or a ditch, it goes into the saturated buffer and it gets filtered. And the benefit is, if there's nitrates in that tile water, the saturated buffer will reduce that nitrate loading before it gets to the river.
More in depth after this.
Continued my conversation with John Norwood, Democratic candidate for the office of Iowa Secretary of Agriculture. And why do you want to be Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Iowa?
Yeah, well, I'm really passionate. I mean, spent most of my career in agriculture and conservation, and I think I'm uniquely qualified, both with my experience having grown up on the East Coast, the West Coast, and been in Iowa since 2002, raising my children. I have a good sense of Iowa, the Iowa people, and the unique challenges and opportunities we have to modernize our agriculture. It's a system that's highly productive. We're a top 10 producer in the world. We're number two in terms of our dollar value output, agricultural output, only behind the state of California. That's a state of 40 million people. We're a state of 3.2 million people. So it's highly productive, but it's also a system that's out of balance. It's not resilient. It's not diverse, and it's not inclusive. And so those three pieces of a criterion in particular, the diversity, the inclusivity, and the resiliency are really fundamental to the system being sustainable. And hence the name of my campaign tagline, Iowa Built to Last. We want to build a system here in Iowa that is built to last, that will be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. But we have, you know, we have issues with our water quality, a billion pounds of nitrogen going down the Mississippi-Missouri River. That creates problems down the Gulf, the hypoxic zone. We have our own issues here in Iowa across the state, impacting drinking water, impacting recreation, impacting fishing. And that's going to take a lot of hard work, a lot of money, and some systematic thinking, which I'm really good at as a strategic person. The same issues in terms of soil health. We need to think systematically about how we can align landowners and farm operators. And so I think, you know, between my experience in the working world and my experience as an elected official and 20 years in board service, I feel like I have the ability to connect with people across the political spectrum and bring people together around the critical issues and the solutions, rather than just, you know, name-calling and spitballing one another.
Okay, so what is your vision of what Iowa agriculture should look like?
Yeah, well, we recognize the 23 million acres of corn and bean ground, which is foundational to our economy. And if you add it up, all the dollar values, the, you know, market value of the 23 million acres, that's $350 billion. If you look at our drainage systems, that's another $100 billion plus, $450 billion now. The other lands, working lands, another probably $50 billion, that's $500 billion. Then we add all the ethanol infrastructure, processing infrastructure, tractors, livestock. Pretty soon we're up to $1 trillion. And so we have $1 trillion on the balance sheet, the state's balance sheet, public and private money, on a system that's not built to last. A third of our state's topsoil is gone. We're losing topsoil at the rate, 10 times the rate that Mother Nature is producing it. And so we want to protect that investment. And we need to begin to think about how do we modernize the system, not just to be productive in the idea of feeding the world. We got to think about feeding Iowa. We got to think about feeding the 80 million people within a day's drive. And we need to think about, I think, first and foremost, how do we make sure the system is sustainable? Because if we burn out the system, if we, you know, send all our topsoil down the river and we have nothing to show in 50 years, then what have we done? It's also an intergenerational equity issue. We can't just be focused on productivity today. How much money can we make today? That's not fair to future generations, thinking about what is our responsibility to future generations to conserve that soil and protect the waters of the state and so forth.
More in depth after this.
Continued my conversation with John Norwood, Democratic candidate for the office of Iowa Secretary of Agriculture. Well, so where do farmers fit in? Do you see mandates for them or incentives or a combination?
Yeah.
You're not very good at mandates.
Yeah.
I mean, well, none of us are.
Yeah, no. I don't. My solution, I think, is more begins with follow the money. And in the state of Iowa, we have on average $1.5 billion of federal monies through the largely through the Farm Bill that is paid to with respect to farm programs and conservation payments and so forth. And so part of what we need to do, and I'm not talking about trade payments, I'm not talking about pandemic payments, that's on top of those, that average $1.5 billion. So I think we need to begin to think about how do we spend that public money in a way that hits multiple objectives. It hits productivity objectives, it hits environmental objectives, it hits some of the long-term goals, it hits the diversity objective. Some of what we have to help farmers do is diversify what we grow. So that 23 million acres of corn and beans, we used to grow some of the other cropping choices, small grains and so forth, and rye and barley and oats and so forth, and we're starting to see some of that come back. That's super important for soil health. The bugs that live in the soil, which we've degraded, require, thrive, do best if we have a mixture of cropping systems. So I think we need to figure out some rotations that are not just corn, bean, corn, bean, or corn, corn, corn. We got to think about how do we introduce those, and we got to provide market support, I think, probably help farmers grow, provide a market for the things that we need to have grown. So that's one example. Another example is helping new farmers get involved and grow things on 2 acres or 5 acres or 10 acres that service that either the Iowa population, you know, the third of the state school kids that have nutritional issues. Why not supply a lot of that food locally, fresh food, healthy food that's grown by Iowa producers? Now we have labor issues. We're gonna have to work on some of those issues, and we have know-how issues, but John has an idea of a farm park, which would be like a business park or an industrial park, take 100 acres, 160 acres. Each county might design its own, and that's where we provide access through a rental arrangement for the new beginning farmers, not the ones who are trying to grow things at scale, because who has millions of dollars? Who has hundreds or thousands of dollars? Typically, you have to be born into that to have that kind of an opportunity. So there's two sides to the system. It's small and it's large. The other thing we have to focus on is the fact that absentee land ownership is a really big part of both the problem and the opportunity. 60% of the ground is absentee owned, and so a lot of those owners are looking for a financial return. And that land, which is an asset, can only provide so much return. The operator, the farm operator you mentioned, they're looking for a return too. So you have two different parties that are trying to extract value out of that ground, and that ground can only support so much in terms of the financial outlay on that land. And the result in the past has been the land in some cases gets worn down. It's like running an engine too hard. And so we got to figure out a better balance between what should the landowner get in terms of return, what should the farm operator, and I think we too often point the finger at the farm operator as the renter for problems like soil health, which would be akin in a rental house situation to blaming the renter for the paint peeling off the house. We really got to bring the landowners, I think, into the conversation. And some of our farm subsidies, cover crops and so forth, we saw this in the 80s attached to conservation compliance. I think the word I would use is compliance. There's some expectations, I think, that the public, if the public is paying for crop insurance, is paying for cover crops, there should be some expectation as to, what's going to happen to that financial asset to help protect it for the long term.
Well, let's talk about markets for a second. You gave me a lot to talk about, but markets just don't come out of nowhere.
Absolutely.
So I have a friend that raises goats, and there's a little bit of demand for goat meat, but it takes as much time and effort to butcher a goat as it does does beef. But then there's only a little market for it.
Yeah.
And she'd love to do more goats, but...
Goats are an interesting subject that you just picked up, because the market, the Chicago market too for goats meat, I think has been very robust. And what we're seeing, I think, in meat processing is our current system, which is commodity based and controlled by a few four major meat processing players. You know, that's focused on well-established proteins, cattle, for example. And so the system is not set up to handle goats. And so we got to figure out from a processing standpoint, that goes back to the farm park idea. We used to have local processing, and that went away in part when we shifted much more to corn and beans. And so I think we need to begin to rebalance the system to think about what kind of livestock should be running around out on the land. Because guess what? The livestock also play a role in soil health. That manure is a critical part of nature. And so with goats, we got to think about, I think, you know, is the constraint the processing? Because there is a market for it in Chicago, I'm hearing, I'm sure other places too. But can we produce it in a way that's economic, and then can the producer actually perhaps maintain the identity? It's XYZ Farms goat meat going to Chicago, where that producer, if it's identity preserved, has the potential to sell a higher quality meat at a higher quality price. And Nyman Ranch is a good example in the pork space. But there are others too. I think we've got to get out of just the mindset of it's all commodity. Because commodity production, it doesn't matter if you're in corn or you're in hogs, you are a price taker. You do not have control over price.
Well, there's so many more things to talk about, yeah. And you have lots of good ideas, I know. We're sort of running short of time. Yeah. Can you share why people should vote for you?
I think they should vote for me because I have vision. I've delivered that at the soil, Polk County Soil and Water Conservation District. I have a breadth of experience. I'm an independent voice. I think we need somebody who is going to represent Iowans. The Secretary of Agriculture has elements of food, land, and water embedded in that agency. And I think we need a modern vision for our agricultural system here. It's foundational to what we do. But we got to get out of sort of the 1950s mindset, I think. And so I would do that. I would work hard to work with producers, work with landowners, work with all the stakeholders to make our system something that the world would view as a model.
Thanks to John Norwood for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.